The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit through the wilderness, being tempted there by the devil for 40 days. During that time he ate nothing, and at the end he was hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to turn into a loaf." But Jesus replied, "Scripture says, man does not live on bread alone." Then leading him to a height, the devil showed him in a moment of time all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, "I will give you all this power and the glory of these kingdoms, for it has been committed to me, and I give it to anyone I choose. Worship me then, and it shall all be yours." But Jesus answered him, "Scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." Then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said to him, "throw yourself down from here. For Scripture says, he'll put his angels in charge of you to guard you. And again, they will hold you up on their hands in case you hurt your foot against a stone." But Jesus answered him, "It has been said, you must not put the Lord your God to the test." Having exhausted all these ways of tempting him, the devil left him to return at the appointed time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Those opening words from the Gospel that you've just heard, filled with the Spirit, Jesus left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit through the wilderness, being tempted there 40 days, was really brought home to a group of us last October when we were there and made that very same journey. We left where Jesus had reputed sight of the baptism in the Jordan and went towards Jericho. And as you're going into Jericho, there's this huge beginning of the Judean desert and that mount of temptation there. On the front of your newsletter, you see there's a bit of desert, just a little bit of the desert there. And you notice how it looks barren, dry, stony, nothing growing there. And in a way, Lent is almost about the opposite, because it's about growth. Lent is an old English word. Lenten means almost as the days are lengthening, it means things are growing, spring coming. We see the signs all around us. So it seems odd to begin in the desert. But then, if you reflect in your own life, it's sometimes when we're, as it were, in the desert, not physically in there, but because we did go there, but we can't all do that. Not physically, but spiritually, sort of mentally, psychologically, we can be in a sort of desert place. And that can often be in that situation where we meet and grow in God. Because that's what Lent is about. It's growth in faith, leading through penance and prayer to that no growth in knowledge of God, and therefore of ourselves, and of ourselves in relation to others. So it was on Ash Wednesday, at the beginning of Lent, that Jesus, God's chief word to us, gave us those three things to take us through: prayer, our relationship with God; fasting, which is about myself and my self-control; and almsgiving, how we reach out to others, to our neighbours. But on this first Sunday, Luke begins filled with the Spirit. It's immediately after his baptism. And Luke's very careful. He said Jesus was at prayer. I remember saying this to you on the feast of the baptism. Jesus was at prayer. And when he was at prayer, two things happened. One, he heard the voice of the affirmation of God. "You are my Son, the Beloved." And the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Well, that same spirit then drove him into the desert, the wilderness, for the temptations we've just heard about. Mark uses a very interesting Greek word, ekbalo, and it's almost like he threw him out. If you like, chucked a ball. You throw a ball out into the desert. He almost threw him out into the desert to be tempted, because having heard that great affirmation, often all the questionings and all those things go on inside us. We know that, don't we? We sometimes have a great affirmation. We have a great moment, something happens, and then afterwards you go back and you think about it, and you, was that right? And all the questions go on inside us. That was happening to the Lord. And all the temptations, if you notice, of him were really, if you are the Son of God, because he's just heard, you are my Son, the Beloved. My favor rests on you. And the devil said, no, are you the Son of God? Because if you are, you can do this, and you can do that, and you can do the other. But of course, that struggle, it says the devil left him, but we know the devil's always around, don't you? We go into the confessional, we all know the devil's around. He's been there, that's why we need to be in there. It said he left him until the appointed time when he comes back. And it was only after Good Friday and on the glory of Easter morning that the devil is conquered and the Lord has won. Now, most years, I always talk to you a bit about temptation, because you're all familiar with it, because it's something that never leaves us, isn't it? We always know that. Different, it may change as we get older, and different temptations come along, but the devil's never too far away from us. And all this thing is to think out how the Lord answers everyone with, it is said, God. And that's what it's about. That's why I want us to think this year, in the year of faith, about our faith in God and how we then can challenge the different temptations that we have. Because, of course, Lent time was always the time for people preparing for the full sacraments at Easter, coming into the church or being baptized as well. And among the preparation for all that, they're looking at the creed, what we believe. It's quite interesting. And if you looked at today's lectionary, if you don't know this, at the top of every reading that's set out, there's a little thing in italics. You're not meant to read it, you're meant to look at it, but you're not meant to read it out loud, but it's there. And it's the guiding line saying, this is what this passage is about, or this is the important bit to think about. It's interesting this morning, the first reading has the heading, the Creed of the Chosen People. As it were, right, the creed of faith of the Old Testament Jewish people, recalling their humble origins, their rescue from Egypt, their becoming a people in the land flowing of milk and honey, when they've been through the desert, the 40 years in the desert. Again, that's a path some of us took in October. And then the reading said, you produce the first fruits. You're in a rich land now. You've got milk and honey. You've got all these things. The first fruits come. That doesn't grow in the desert. That's you're in the rich land. And so you bring the first fruits. And if you think about that, we profess the faith that we have. A few moments, we should sing the creed. And then, after our prayers, we bring the first fruits. We bring the bread and the wine. So we're doing what that saint asking us to do, because that is part of what the Christian does. Once we're a Christian, we become involved in the Paschal mystery, in the Paschal sacrifice, the Passover sacrifice of Jesus. So our Mass today, our Mass on Easter Day, our Mass always, we celebrate that creed and then the sacrifice. But the interesting thing, the second reading has the heading, the Creed of the Christian. So it's the creed of the people of the Old Testament, now the creed of the Christian. And St. Paul gives us that in that second reading. He said, the lips that confess that Jesus is Lord, the heart that believes that God has raised him from the dead, believing from the heart brings righteousness, professing on the lips brings salvation. And that's what the Lord does. That's why we're here with the gathered people, but we're saved by him. So it's really saying at the beginning of Lent, let's refresh and renew ourselves like we did with the water at the beginning. Water of life, cleanse and refresh us, renew ourselves in the acts of faith. So that's a time for growth. Now often as we age, we think, you know, we don't need to go on growing. In fact, I always say to the children in school, you know, when you're growing, you go on growing and growing and growing and growing. And when you stop growing upwards, you start growing outwards, as some of you know. And they all smile at that because they see that abound. And then, as time goes by, we seem to get going down a bit. I hope not too much. You won't see me. And so we go down a bit. But actually, what the church is saying is, no, all the time we need to go on growing. There's always something new. It's Lent 2013. There's something new. There's always something new happening here. But that's good because it's the church moving. It's the church growing. Growing however we are. But growing in Lent, just two last things, through penitence. Being honest about ourselves before God. Those of you that were brought up with the old acts of prayer, remember the adoration, which is what we do when we first come in. We adore God with a hymn of praise or something to do with praise when we come in. We then confess the AC. We confess our penitence, our sins, whatever we are. Then we go on to thank him, thanksgiving in the Gloria, but not in Lent. We don't have the Gloria. We keep that till the glory of Easter Day, or the Paschal Mystery. And then we pray. Those acts of prayer, fundamental. And within that, our sorrow for our sins, wanting to be free of all deception before God, all evasiveness, deviousness, of all pity, of fear, all pretense. Being single-minded, as it were, before the Lord. Because the Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. That's what we want to grow in during this Lent. I just read this quote at the end. All true spiritual growth is towards simplicity of heart and singleness of desire, so that whatever comes to us of pain or hurt, of bereavement or failure, of sin or harm done to others, can be burnt up in the crucible of Christ's loving presence in our heart, and we become purged and purified in love, therefore, for others. So it's a happy growing in faith this Lent.